This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And this is an hour for listening closely. 3 days of national mourning in Iraq have been declared by an Iraqi government reeling after a bloody weekend. Sunday's suicide bombing in Baghdad killed more than 200 people just after midnight as a suicide bomber detonated an explosive-packed truck in the middle of the Iraqi capital. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack in what appears to be some kind of offensive over the past week. We'll talk about that a little later. More than 1,200 people outside of Iraq and Syria have been killed in attacks inspired by or coordinated by the self-proclaimed Islamic State. That's according to the New York Times. Anyone died in any of these attacks that you know? Well, choreographer Jonathan Hollander would say, yes. I lost a student and friend, Abdel El-Jaf, a young dancer also known as Adel Euro. The story of how Adel reached out with courage and hope from the chaos of his country and then was silenced is in many ways the story of our world right now, all its precious dreams and opportunities erased by obscene violence, but then not entirely erased. That's why you have to listen. Jonathan Hollander is president and artistic director of the Battery Dance Company and Dancing to Connect. He took some time today to urge us to read between the headlines and listen to a story of one brilliant dancer. The story begins when Jonathan said he saw something on his Facebook page.
I was in my apartment, and I got a strange message from an anonymous person on Facebook, and it looked like it was coming from Baghdad. I accepted the message, and there was a picture, thumbnail, actually a screenshot from Adel's timeline, and the message was, "Do you know this person?" I was very skeptical. I didn't immediately believe that it was an important message. I thought it could be a hoax or a threat or something like that, because Adel has had a lot of threats and danger in his life in Baghdad. So I was on alert, and I asked, "Who are you?" And the person wrote back and said, "He is dead. He was killed in an ISIS bombing in Baghdad." So my heart didn't skip a beat. I didn't really believe it at all. But then I went online and I saw that there were big explosions in Baghdad. And when I was in Amman and met Adel in person, I had also met his cousin and aunt who had recently been resettled here in the United States. And I was Facebook friends with both of them. And I reached out to them and I said, "Please call me." A few minutes later, his cousin called me. She was very upbeat, happy to hear from me, clearly didn't know anything or if anything had happened. So I asked her, you know, I said, "I've heard that there's something bad that's happened in Baghdad with Adel. Could you check?" And she said she'd call his father in Baghdad and get back to me. There was a gap of about 2 minutes, and she called back and she was sobbing.
This is a story of friendship, but it's also a story of how the arts are entwined in the politics and tragedy in Syria and Iraq. Can you explain how you have experienced that?
Battery Dance has a program called Dancing to Connect, and this is a program that engages teenagers and young adults in creativity, building choreography, using their own language of movement. And it's something that started in 2006 in New York City public schools and in Germany and Cambodia. Strangely, we had these opportunities at the same time. And that since has spiraled out to 45 countries around the world, including Iraq, where two of our people trained 33 young men and women in Erbil. And it was a remarkable experience. Obviously, that the fact that we worked in Iraq kind of spread tentacles across the country, that anyone who was a dancer kind of found out about Battery Dance, because we have sort of a vibrant presence online. So in October of 2014, I began a conversation on Facebook with Adel, and it progressed very rapidly. He was very articulate, wrote in English, was fast, and he said he was a hip-hop and break dancer. And I asked him if he was interested in expanding his repertoire and learning other forms of dance, and he was immediately interested. And he said he'd never really had the opportunity to have formal training. So the first thing I thought of was that if he could video his routines, that we could critique them. and give him some feedback and get something started. So there was a pause of about 10 days, I think, and he said, I have a surprise for you. And it was quite the surprise, John, because I remember I was with my daughter at the Museum of Natural History. I was sitting on the floor while she was going around the museum, and I had my laptop because I was working, and something came through on Facebook. And it was a miniature film that he had produced in a park in Baghdad where he was, it was a story in movement. And at the end, he had placed a photograph of me and said that it was a tribute to me. And, you know, you can just imagine what this meant. I mean, I was floored, not only by the emotion and the gift from the heart, but also the finesse of this little miniature film. How could he do it? He wasn't a trained filmmaker. He didn't have dance training. He wasn't a choreographer of, you know, with any kind of background, but he just had creativity coming out of every part of his body.
And also a drive to reach out.
That was the amazing thing, that his charisma and his ability to reach across the world and capture me and engage me in this way. The next thing was that I called upon Sean Scantleberry, who's a dancer with my company. He's been with us for 13 years and grew up in Brooklyn. He was a product of the New York Public School for Dance, so he went through Elliot Feld's classical ballet training. Mm-hmm. He was a member of Elliot Feld's company, performed at the Joyce Theater and, you know, different places. And then he ended up in Battery Dance Company, and he's been just a force of incredible creativity and everything good for us for these 13 years. And I thought he would be a remarkable person to teach Adel, and maybe we could use Skype as a vehicle for that. So we set up these Skype sessions where Adel would be in his living room, push the furniture to the walls, and tell his younger brother not to come in at the moment. And it would usually be around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, Baghdad time. Sean would be in our studio, and he just put him through the paces as much as would be possible, given the technology, the pixelation on the screen. You know, you can imagine dance and the connection between a living room in Baghdad and a studio in downtown New York.
It sounds like you made it. You made that connection.
We really did. And Sean and he, I mean, he just looked up to, you know, he saw in Sean what he wanted to be. And in fact, he could have been.
Was he threatened by politics, or was he outside of it? Whenever you said to him, are you in danger, did he say, oh, no, no, no? What was his response?
No, he said he said it became increasingly dangerous for him to dance in public. Some of his films were done outdoors. And one time I don't know who they were, whether they were police or Islamic clerics or some kind of authority, accosted him when he was in a park and told him, you know, what are you doing? You're desecrating the Islam religion. And he said, oh, no, 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 I'm doing martial arts. I'm not dancing. And they walked away. That was okay for them, as long as it was not danced. Dance was profane.
Did you ever see Adel face to face?
Yeah, we had this remarkable, it's almost like fate has dictated this entire story, because soon after the Skype sessions and so forth, we got invitations from the Amman Contemporary Dance Festival in Jordan and the Amman Jazz Festival in Jordan that were going to be happening within the span of 1 week. And this wasn't completely coincidental. We had been to Jordan before. We had relationships with a Syrian musician who connected us with the director of the jazz festival. You know, we have a network of friends and people who know what we do. We're very much under the radar, but at the same time, they're people who are activists who are working in the trenches like we are, and they know. So we got these invitations, and immediately this sparked the idea that maybe we could get Adel across from Iraq into Jordan. So we applied to the Prince Claus Fund in Netherlands, which has a special fund for artists in third world countries, so to speak. To have opportunities to travel. And we got it for him. Then the issue was, how do you get a visa for an Iraqi to go to Jordan at a time like this. Mm. It's really, really tough. And also, what is the mechanism for doing that? So we contacted the Royal Jordanian Embassy in Washington, and there were very kind and interested and feeling people there. But somehow they're in Washington. Somebody is in Amman. It was very tricky and complicated as to how this might happen. Adele went to a travel agent in Baghdad. He bought a ticket with money that we had sent him from the fund. And the travel agent gave him a quote-unquote visa. And I was like, what the hell is this? I mean, how is that going to get you into Jordan?
It's the Middle East.
I really didn't believe it. And he arrived in Amman before we did. And we had asked a young Jordanian dancer who's here on scholarship with Joffrey, who we've been mentoring also, to connect us with a young filmmaker. So we had some footage of Adel going in a car, coming to the airport, looking at his phone, waiting for a text from me to say we've landed, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And Sean and Mira, one of our dancers, and I came through, and there he was. And I just can't tell you.
Creativity, love, affection, and of course, pain.
Common humanity.
And people say it's really banal. It's hard to find the human face of the tragedies in places like Syria and Baghdad and Iraq and Middle East. But you probably have an answer to the question of what have we lost here?
Well, I've talked about Adel, and he was an inspiration, like a glittering star. But he had all circle of friends, and I began to chat with them. You know, through him, they were contacting me, and to whatever extent I could, I would just give some feedback, just be a person across the world who was there and listening to them. And so much talent. And they all died in that bombing. The whole circle of friends are gone. So it's Adel, but it's a whole community. There is so much talent in that country. We have no idea, because the political situation is so chaotic, that this talent is unable to flourish. But the human spirit, the resilience, the ability to be creative and to push forward in a barren landscape with bombs going off, with threats from your own community, because being a dancer, being a guy who's a dancer, is absolutely just out of the question.
Jonathan Hollander is president and artistic director of the Battery Dance Company and Dancing to Connect. He knew Adel, who we've lost, very well.